welcome to episode 2 of the Cast Iron Podcast, recorded Thursday the 3rd of November 2011. My name's Craig, and I'm joined again by Carl and Aidan. How are you guys?
I'm good, thank you very much.
Very good, thank you, yep. Not bad.
Before we get started properly, there's a couple of things I just want to quickly mention, draw people's attention to. The first is the squad and a couple of the staff at Scunthorpe United are doing Movember. They're growing moustaches to raise money for charity, which I think would be amazing. They're doing it in memory of Gary Thompson's grandfather.
Yeah. It should be fun, shouldn't it, I think? They're going to look really cool by the end of the month.
I think it should be really funny just going to watch them play at the end of the month and just they're all wearing 80s porn moustaches. They'd be brilliant.
Is one word for it, isn't it?
Well, I've seen the players sort of tweeting each other about it and sort of taking the mick. There's one or two of them saying that they can't. Like two or three days in, there's no evidence of hair at all. Or some of them have got proper tashes coming already. It's all for a good cause, so if you'd like to donate, you can go to mobro.co/sufc. So that's mobro.co/sufc. The other thing worth mentioning, on a slightly more down note, is Billy Sharp, Scunthorpe legend. Everyone at the club will know his name. He and his partner tragically lost their two-day-old son last Saturday. Heroically, he not only played, but scored against Middlesbrough on Tuesday, just, what was that, 3-4 days later, which I think is an incredible thing to do that soon after losing your two-day-old child to sort of go out there and play. I thought it was a really touching thing for the club, for both sides. Did a one-minute applause by all the fans before the kickoff, which was impeccably done. Interestingly, Sharp tweeted afterwards saying that he was crying during that minute, which is completely understandable. They ended up losing 3-1, but as I say, he scored the opening goal in the 14th minute, which was actually a stunning goal as well. It was a very fitting goal.
It was a very good goal, wasn't it? Yeah.
Which he dedicated to his son. He said that goal was the most important goal of my career, dedicated to my brave boy, Louis Jacob Sharp. I love you, son. I thought it was a fantastic thing, particularly as well when he scored the goal in celebration. He lifted his shirt over his head and he had a T-shirt underneath that said, "That's for you, son," which I thought was fantastic. And I've seen that sort of photo or a couple of different photos sort of floating around on Twitter, including his avatar at the moment. The class thing about that was, although he put his shirt over his head, he didn't get booked for it, which I thought was a great moment of common sense from the referee, because normally that would be a yellow card. I think that was a very...
And that's the referee that not many people like, isn't it, Mr.
Yeah, he's very card happy, that referee.
Yeah.
So I think that was exceptionally good to see.
Yep. Got to agree.
Definitely.
Respect, didn't it, really? His attitude and stuff like that and what happened and the fact he's willing to play in that really, really does like it.
It's a fantastic thing, and it's just something that when footballers in general get so much grief and sort of, they're called in question because of the money that they make and all the rest of it, to show that kind of attitude and loyalty and passion for the club and for the fans and everything else, it just shows the kind of guy he is. He was at Scunthorpe, he's a top quality guy, isn't he?
Yeah. Quality striker as well, to be honest.
Definitely, yeah.
Miss do it. With him back.
Yeah, definitely. Come on, Alan, get Billy back.
I think he'll be off to Southampton, won't he?
I hope he goes there.
Because Southampton and Ipswich are both circling him, aren't they? So.
Yeah. See Billy Sharp in the Premier League, though, wouldn't it? Really would.
Yeah.
It would, yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to see him go back and get back with Atkins as well. At the Saints. It'd be good to see.
Yep.
And here's a chance, it could be, Scunthorpe United are ahead, and the goal comes from Matt Sparrow, their longest serving player.
Okay, so, recent results. We've had 3 matches played since episode 1, which was 2 weeks ago. The first being Saturday the 22nd, we played MK Dons away, which was a 0-0 draw. Which I don't think any of us forecast. None of us thought it was going to end. I think, Aidan, you had a draw, didn't you? But you had it as a score draw.
No, I had a 3-0 in that one.
Oh, you had the win.
I got a very well.
I went for 1-1.
Yeah, Cal got it, not me. Well, I won't take any credit for that. I was very wrong. is a much better performance than I thought it was going to be, I think, really, as Cal will say. I think we played really well. MK Dons weren't a great team, really. But no, it was a good performance, and we deserved a point. We could have won it. But no.
They weren't as good as I thought they were going to be fair. They were very organised, but they didn't really do a lot.
I think no tactic nullified them, because obviously they made a change in 45 minutes, didn't they? And they bought off... Yeah. They bought on Ibera, and obviously they changed it up top. So I think our tactics worked against them, which is good to see, isn't it, really?
It's good to see that teams respect us that much, I think, to know that we were in control. And
yeah, well, I think we were. I think that's good. Yeah, go on.
They had to change to sort of stop us playing, really, and it sort of worked, but then it didn't. We still had chances at the end, but...
Yeah. They were more on top of the second half, weren't they? But they really weren't... Yeah. Anything special, and I felt the first half front from Scunny was very, very impressive. I thought we passed the ball well, we moved well, and we looked dangerous. The only thing we lacked was the strike up front, really, to finish off the chances.
Yeah,
as normal.
We were a bit wasteful.
Yeah, we were, but we need to create more. We create the chances that game, but we just didn't take them really. That's why we drew 0-0. But it was a good point.
So the interesting talking point out of that one was the first start in the first team, anyway, for Sam Slocum in goal. Who, off the back of that clean sheet, was named in the Suns League One Team of the Week. What did you make of that?
I think Cal should be named a League One Photographer of the Week. He did about as much work as Slam Slocum did. Not much, was he? I thought he did enough. He did. No, he had a good game, to be fair to him. He had little to do, though. I thought I was very surprised to see that. He was not an outstanding performance, anything like that. It was just a very good... Very solid.
He was solid, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah. It was a good introduction to football, like first team professional football, because obviously he hadn't played before. He's been at Bottersford, hasn't he? And yeah, it was really good to see him play and do well. So yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was a bit strange to see him. Effectively, the Sun are saying he was the best goalkeeper in League One that week.
Yeah. Well, must have been a poor week.
He did make a couple of good saves, and he came. He was very willing to come for the ball from corners and stuff. So.
Yeah,
well, he had to do it. He did well. It's just
Just didn't have a lot
to do.
Yeah, I mean, it was great to see him not only make that start, but get that clean sheet away. You know, a tough away game as well. I don't think many people expected us to go there and keep a clean sheet.
No, not at all. If you can go like places like that and do well, to be honest though, we've done that all season, haven't we? Really, we got a draw against Charlton. We were quite unlucky against Chef Wente not to get anything. And then we got a point against MK Dons. So you think we seem to turn up against better teams, don't we? Oddly.
Yeah, very true.
Strangely. Yeah.
It is weird.
So we then followed that up on Tuesday, the 25th, at home against Huddersfield in the driving monsoon rain and thunderstorms before kickoff. I got absolutely drenched walking to Glanford Park that day. We drew, and that one ended 2-2, which really doesn't tell the story at all. Before the kickoff, I thought there was a fantastically well-observed minute silence before kickoff for Jack Marshall, the young Scunthorpe lad that had lost his life recently to a brain tumour. And I thought it was fantastic to hear just both sets of fans. They had a good following there, Huddersfield as well, and it was absolute silence. You could hear the rain on the roof.
Yeah, that's the first time I've ever heard one where there's not even been... Even a tiny little squeak from anybody. Usually you get the odd phone going off or something like that, and that was all you could hear that night was the rain on the roof, wasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It was really touching. So the game itself, as I say, ended 2-2. Two missed penalties. Dagnall in the first half, O'Connor in the second was kind of the big.
Were they missed though, or were they saved? I always have this argument with people. Did we miss them, or did the keeper save them?
This is it. I mean.
They get paid to score from 12 yards out. I don't think they should.
Well,
miss.
Then the keeper gets paid to save it from 12
yards
out.
Yeah, I just don't think strikers should really miss from that far out. And it's a simple thing.
No.
Put it past the goalkeeper, and they do get paid a lot of money to do it. I do know what you mean. They were both good saves, so I can see where you're coming from.
I mean, at the same point, there weren't fantastic penalties though either. Either of them were.
No, the first one was a poor penalty, and I thought the second one was a good save.
Yeah.
That's to be the general consensus afterwards, didn't it? There was the first
O'Connor hit that as hard as he could, I think, and was unlucky. Really,
the one pleasing thing with the O'Connor miss was he genuinely seemed as gutted as we were that he'd missed it.
Yeah, because you could see in his eyes he was just hitting that And he did that a couple of times last season. There was one last season and he put it about 15 yards over the bar, didn't he? He just did it as that.
He did. So,
but I agree, yeah, you should probably at least test the keeper a bit more than we did.
Yeah, yeah. You make them, if they preferred a worldly and they stop the ball going in, then you think, oh, that is a really good save. But the ones we were...
Far to the side like that and they save it, then fair enough. But
I thought they were a bit too near the goalie, really, to be honest. And,
yeah.
But in most situations, they would have gone in because the goalie would have dived the way. So fair play to him.
Yeah.
He did well. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. The other thing as well was that it was one of those where we could have won it and we probably should have won it, but at the same time, having gone 2-1 down quite late on to then get that late goal and equalise, it was... You come out feeling, am I supposed to be annoyed that we didn't win it or pleased that we've got something else out of it at all? Or it was a real sort of, and it was quite interesting hearing the radio as we were driving back as well. That was exactly it. It was kind of, people didn't quite seem, like the same on Twitter as well, didn't quite seem how to take it.
Yeah, I agree with that because it was a bit gutting when they scored and then you're thinking, that's it, we've chucked it away, and then to go straight down the other end and score. And to be fair, Dagenham took that goal pretty well.
Took it very well, especially given, obviously, he's...
After missing that penalty.
He was lacking confidence in general.
It was a good kick from Slocum and he took it down pretty well and finished it.
Very calm as well, yeah.
Yeah.
I was a bit. The only thing I was gutted about was I predicted 1-1 with that, so I was right with the draw, but got the score wrong. Whereas Aidan was spot on.
Yeah.
You obviously saw those penalty misses coming because you said 2-2.
Yeah, obviously that's obviously the score I wanted as well.
You were sat there desperate. Yeah, yeah. Go on, miss the penalties. I've got a 2-2 on this.
No, I wasn't.
Not.
But it was a good position. What did Cal go for? I can't remember.
Cal went 2-1 win.
I 2-1 win, didn't I? Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn it. Well, I've taken that, but.
Yeah. So that was then followed the following Saturday on the 29th with, again at home, against Tranmere, which, again, I was at, and was the epitome of game of two halves, really, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was.
It ended 4-2, which was a fantastic result, but somehow, I have no idea how we managed to go in level at half-time. It was 2-2 at half-time after very poor first half.
Woeful first half. Well, it was awful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a sign of a team that's getting a bit better, though, isn't it? That they were shocking for times. Like the two goals, the first one was just a bit of a penalty box, and he just smashed it in, didn't he? But the second one was a good goal. But then
Grant's goal was incredible.
Duffy scored a decent goal, and then Bobby, I think, how many times in a game does he shoot from there? And uses either an easy save or it's over the bar, isn't it? But
on the railway,
as soon as he hit that, he knew that was in because I was sat right in line with him taking pictures. And as soon as he hit that, he ran and started celebrating straight away. So it's one of them.
A hell of a strike.
It was a great goal.
Really good.
That was properly. I think I jumped out of my seat so hard I banged my knee on the chair in front of me. So I sort of celebrated the goal and then sort of sat down. I was like, why is my knee killing me? second half.
If it makes you feel better, I nearly got squashed by about 10 players diving on top of each other.
Oh, that's in the action. That's what I like to hear.
Definitely.
So what do we make of the red card to the on-loan Everton player for Tranmere, Baxter, sent off when it was 3-2, about halfway
through? If Bartram was a yellow card against Colchester or whatever it was, that was a yellow card. That was a red card, wasn't it? Yeah. I don't think it should be a red card, really, but a two-footed challenge like that is always going to be a red, isn't it, really?
He gave the referee the decision to make, though, didn't he? He
did.
And I saw what a lot of the Tranmere fans were saying. Togwell made a similar challenge literally a second before, didn't he?
Yeah.
But he won the ball, and he weren't, one foot was still on the ground. So
no. That's it. I think that was the big difference.
Went in with both feet off the ground, didn't
he? It was a reckless tackle, and I think probably the red card. I think the kid will learn from it, and probably. I don't think it made that much of a difference to the game. I read like someone saying, "Oh, we only won because they had 10 men." But really, I thought we were in control.
Yeah,
we were 3-2 up at that point, and we were, as I say, much better for the whole of the second half. And I think they were saying in interviews afterwards that they felt confident they would have still won it had they stayed at 11 men. Which I think is right. I think even had Baxter not been sent off, I think we'd have gone on and won that game. We were much better second half, and much better than they were second half.
We were in cruise control when he got sent off, though, weren't we? We were able to play our game then. We controlled the midfield and just fill up.
Yeah, that definitely made things easier, didn't it?
It did make it easier. I don't think we could have gone for it a bit more, though. I know it's a bit silly to say, but we could have gone for it and got a big goal. Because the goal is not great, is it? We could have gone on 1-6-2, impressed the fans.
Yeah, that's it. Having 1-4-2, that has now got our goal difference back to zero.
Yeah. To zero, aren't we? Yeah. And looking at around that area, though, that could be as good as a point.
Well, that's it. There's a lot. Everyone else around us is all in negative figures, so is good.
It definitely shows something when you've got a zero goal difference. It means you're not bad, but you're not good, really. You're not scoring enough goals, but
it's all them draws, isn't it? It's all the draws that we've had.
Yeah.
I think like this season, the games we've lost, we've only lost by one goal, haven't we? So that says something as well. We've obviously been close to getting draws in all them games. You think about it.
Yeah.
3-2, 2-1. And 3-2. Is that right? Yeah. So yeah.
Prediction wise, we were all kind of close. We all predicted that we'd win by two goals, but no one said 4-2. Myself and Aidan both went 2-0, and Carl said 3-1.
That means I win then, surely.
So you were nearer than we were. We were real optimistic with the three clean sheets in a row.
Yeah, that would have been good.
Okay, so upcoming fixtures next. We have two games coming between now and episode 3 of the podcast in 2 weeks' time. The first one of those will be on Saturday the 5th in the league, away at Bournemouth, who are currently 18th in the table, 2 points behind us, who are 15th. They're on 16 points. As we were just saying, they, although they're only 2 points behind us, also have a goal difference of -7.
Yeah.
So what are we expecting?
That's massive. I think
The interesting thing is in 9 of the 16 games they've played, they've conceded 2 or more goals, and they've gone 6 games without a home win. So yeah, I think they are really they're inconsistent, but they also seem to see a lot of goals. So you can see Scunny scoring a few goals on Saturday, I think, hopefully. I think we'll do them, won't we? I think we will. We've got 4 unbeaten away from home, haven't we? So you'd think we'd go there and at least get a point. I'd say it's not that tough a game. Just need to pick up where we left off on Saturday, and build on that, and hopefully get some goals and keep them out. Really, yeah.
I think I agree with that. It's one of them games where are we going to drop back though to playing poorly against a team that's like lower down? So the last 3 games have been against teams that are up a bit higher up, aren't they? We've done really well, but we've struggled against lower down teams, don't we? But I think we can be confident of going there. After the last 3 games, we can be more than confident, and I think we'll probably win, if I'm honest.
Predictions, Carl?
3-1.
3-1. Okay. Aidan?
2-1.
You're going for a 2... Ooh, close one. Okay, I'm going for a 2-0.
Ooh.
I think we'll do well.
3 victories.
If you keep guessing that, you'll get it right soon.
Well, the weird thing is I'm going for a clean sheet, which is very Unscunthorpe.
That is.
But I think we'll do well.
As long as we score more than the other team, that's all that matters.
Yeah, that's the key thing. I will happily concede as long as we score more. Okay, so that's then followed the Saturday after that, the 12th, in the FA Cup first round, away at AFC Wimbledon, the proper Wimbledon, the proper Dons.
Wee.
Which, for you, Aidan, is exactly what you were hoping for.
I did ask for it. So, yeah, no, I was very happy with it. It's a tough game, actually. I wanted it because location and, obviously, I went to MK Dons and I have to get that out of my system. So I need to cleanse my system by going watch Wimbledon.
Exactly. You've been to see the franchise and that's the top. Proper Dons, yeah.
Yeah, so I cleanse myself and get that horrible feeling out of going there. We get a point, though. But, I think it'd be a good game. It's a hard one, isn't it? I don't think we're going to be going underestimating them, are we? At home, and I think they're doing all right in the league too, aren't they? They're about what Scunny have done, really. They had a good start, but they've lost it a little bit lately. But I think they've
had quite a few injuries, haven't they, the last few weeks?
Yeah, yeah.
They've got players out.
What's his name was on loan with us as well, on trial with us as well, obviously, wanting to go into him.
Yeah, Jilali.
Yeah, Jilali, yeah.
Did you see his tweets when it was on the draw?
Yeah.
He was quite pleased.
Yeah, he was quite happy with it.
I think he's slightly up for it.
To be fair to him, though, I didn't think he did a lot wrong in pre-season, them games he played. He did all right. No, I think he was a bit poor in the... Was it Barnes that beat us at Godford Park? He was shocking, but then everybody was in that game, weren't they? He was a bit unlucky, I think, to be fair, but I suppose at the time, we didn't really need him, did we? We had him on trial, but he weren't a player that was a necessity, really, so he was a bit unlucky, really, but I'm glad to see he's gone there, and I hope he plays against us and doesn't do too well, if I'm honest.
I think obviously the Tiaki thing, that could happen to us again. That could come out to bite us and knock us out the cup, couldn't it? That's what you've got to worry about. A player like that has got a lot to prove to Alan Neil. You've got to be a bit concerned. But I think we'll beat him. At least get him back for Stamford Park for a second, for a replay, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Predictions, Aidan?
Saying that, I'm going to go 2-2.
2-2?
Yep. But we're going to go for a replay on a Tuesday night in the rain. Looking forward to it.
Nice. Carl?
I'll go for 1-1. I think 1-1? It's going to be a harder game than we think. Really? Yeah, I think it's going to be a hard game.
I don't think you can underestimate teams like that. Definitely at home. And you know what I mean? They're going to be up for it, aren't they? They've got nothing to lose. And yeah, I think it's a tough game.
Magic of the FA Cup. It's a big game. I'm going for a 2-1 win.
It's a big game for them, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a big game. It's a shame he's not on TV. Isn't it? I think Morecambe Chef Wente got chosen instead, but obviously Chef Wente got a lot more fans than it's going to have.
I suppose they look at that though on who's going, how many people are going to watch it, don't they?
Yeah, it is. It will be. But
then saying that, you'd probably get a lot of people to watch Wimbledon, wouldn't you? To be fair,
you would have done. I thought, but I think they were on last year as well, weren't they? I think. Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
So yes, I'm going for 2-1. You two are both saying draw. I'm saying a close win, a hard fought win.
Interesting.
Should be interesting anyway.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good game. I'm looking forward to it.
But it's Scunthorpe who scored. Here's Chris Kamara.
Jeff, you're not going to believe it.
Okay, question time. Three questions this week. Listeners, if you've got any questions you'd like us to discuss here, you can email them to us at castironpodcast@gmail.com. Make sure to include your name and where you're from so that we can give you a mention on air. So, first up, you may have seen Scunthorpe. We currently have Manchester United goalkeeper Sam Johnson on loan. That loan is due to expire very shortly. He's been out for the last couple of weeks with an injured finger. That decision has to be made, well, they were saying, this week. We've not seen anything today, so I'm assuming we're going to hear something tomorrow. But they need to make a decision on, do we extend his loan or do we send him back? Given Slocum's recent performances, it's obviously that makes the decision a little harder. But I don't know how far Josh Lillis is away. Obviously, if he's still a distance away, if Slocum picks up an injury, then you've got no goalkeeper whatsoever. The downside is, if we keep Johnston, presumably you have to drop Slocum because Man United aren't going to be happy with Johnston coming, staying here and sitting on the bench. So what do we do? Do we extend his loan? What do you guys think is going to happen?
I think it'd be a shame if we sent him back. I think he's a really, really good goalkeeper. I can't think of one mistake he's made since he's been here. And to be honest, we've looked a lot better with him in the team. It's a tough one. It's really tough. Because obviously Sam's playing really well. Yeah, Sam Slocum. And if he gets dropped again, he'll be absolutely gutted, won't he? He doesn't deserve to be dropped out of the team for one mistake on Saturday. But it's a tough one. I think we will send him back for money wise. Like, you get the way he's off the bill, you don't really need that face in the, you don't need that body in the building, for an Atkins saying. And I think we'll send him back. But I think it will be a shame to send him back. I think he'll go on and have a really good career somewhere. Probably Man United. Possibly.
There's a spot there for him, isn't there, if they need him?
There is, at least on the bench, sort of thing. He could play a role. He's only young. Fuck, he's 18. He's 18, he's playing League One.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah.
That is so young for a goalkeeper to be playing in that sort of level. Because normally they like build up, play youth, and then play reserves, and then go out on loan. But the lad's just gone from youth to playing League One.
And it's easy to forget with the likes of Johnson and Duffy on loan from Everton as well. You know, these guys are only sort of 18, 19 years old. You know,
so young, isn't it?
You've watched them play, and you forget that because you know they're coming in, they're playing that well, particularly Duffy.
That's their maturity, though, isn't it? I think.
Yeah, definitely.
That shows to be a good player. You look at people like him when Rooney was like 16 or whatever, and he's playing well for Everton. You could see he's got a bit of class about him. I think with the same Shane Duffy, bloody hell, he's a quality footballer, isn't he? I think since we signed him, the team's looked so much better alongside Reedy. And I don't think you can change that defence at the moment, really. And
Duffy's a home. There's no decision to be made. We will extend that as long as Everton let us, won't we?
Yeah, hopefully they'll keep us 10 the season. And that'll be very nice.
Yeah, and I can see they're going for that. That's
kind of been in
there. He's doing very well. I think he's coming in and he's fit in. He's fit in very well as well, hasn't he?
He's slotted in pretty well, hasn't he? He's appeared and he's probably the same though. It's if he's here, he's got to play, really, hasn't he? They're not going to let him come here to sit on the bench, are they? So why I see somebody missing Nelson.
If you listen to that Neil interview on TalkSport the other day, he was saying that on there about how like he's got a really good relationship with like Fergie, and the fact like we play good football, and the fact that we're playing football every week is what attracted him to the club, and that's why we've got Noel Johnson and Duffy from Everton, and obviously that's a really positive thing. We're playing them, we're playing good football. They're not just going to boot it over the heads every 2 minutes. So it's going to be League One, because in League One that is the case. I've seen some teams this season has been awful. Their football has just been the back garden stuff, really. It's all been a bit boring and big boot. But I think we play a nice, attractive football, and that's really a positive for us, isn't it? I think it helps us get better players in.
You wouldn't get them players if the other clubs didn't look at it and think, yeah, they're going to do all right there. Because same with Neil, like Jose coming as well. He wanted to come, I think, to play for Neil, didn't he? So
yeah,
it shows that there's a lot of respect.
Yeah, there's
a lot of respect there.
He came for Neil because obviously he's played for him before. So what do we think? Are we sending him back or are we keeping him?
I think it all depends on what happens with his finger, doesn't it? He's not going to stay here. I don't know how it works, because they keep saying, same as Duffy, they keep saying it's a youth loan. I'm not sure if that's any different to, do you know what I mean, to a normal loan.
Yeah.
Because after that game on Saturday, he was saying it's classed as a youth loan. So I don't know if there's any difference in that to a normal loan.
Have you not seen that on Football Manager before, Carl? You're an expert on that, so you should be.
I'm not sure. I know what you're saying, but I don't know like what the score is. Can you take some more?
My inclination would be, as a youth loan, perhaps that means we're not paying towards his wages because it's more about getting first team football. But I'm not sure.
But I don't think if Johnson is able to play, they'll keep him, I think. But if he's not, it could be one of them situations where you keep in touch with them. You let him go back, technically, keep in touch with them, and then as soon as he's ready, do you know what I mean? If it takes another 3 weeks, then you haven't got him here for 3 weeks, wasting 3 weeks of loan for nothing, if you know what I mean.
But then Josh Lucy will be fit, won't he? So that makes all of it pointless.
But people keep saying that, but then you don't know. He could come back in his first training session, he could do something again, and then he could be out for another 3 months or something. Do you know what I mean?
But I mean, that's the other thing, if we keep Johnson on, Lillis gets back fit, you've then got Slocum's playing very well, Lillis just come back, Johnson we know about, you've then got three goalkeepers. Which one do you play? You've got to play Johnson if we keep him on loan, because we'd have to play him. But then that's harsh on Slocum and on Lewis.
Yeah, so that's why you send him back.
It's a very tough one. It'll be very interesting to see what decision gets made.
I think what will happen, though, is it'll be... he'll maybe stay here, but obviously still be training, because he's been training with Man United. That's how he did it, wasn't it? He'll stay maybe here, but then obviously he's not on loan, if you know what I mean, but he's there, and then as soon as he can play, let him play, like put him back in the team. Because for me, Slocum is doing a good job, but then what if he plays, I don't know, one of these next two games and he has a howler and his like confidence drops, and then all of a sudden he's like calamity keeper, all of a sudden, do you know what I mean? And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but
no, that is possible.
That's possible.
Yeah, remember he's the goalkeeper because he's eight played... goals against Hull Reserves, was it? Eight goals?
Yeah.
So obviously he's got a bit of a.
It's confidence, isn't it?
Definitely. I think he is a good goaler, though. I don't think anyone can deny that. That save on Saturday against Cranmere was excellent when he got down.
That kept us in the game, to be fair.
Fantastic save, absolutely. Definitely kept us in it.
So, he's obviously got a lot of bad man. He's very young, and I think he wanted to build for the future as Lillis's number two, like Lillis was for Murphy. With Johnson, it's a case, if he's fit and able to play in the next few weeks, then you've got a big decision to make, haven't you? You're going to have to decide. He's decided before that Johnson was better than Slocum. Does he still think that, or will he send to keep him? You know what I mean? So.
Yep, she'll definitely be interesting to wait and see. Okay, so we've had a couple of questions sent in from listeners. Thank you for that. one from Jim Coulson from Ilkley, who sent in this question. We've had all these shots on goal, but not scored very many. What new unconventional tactics should Neil employ to aid the accuracy of his front men? I reckon putting a picture of Piers Morgan in the top corner of the goal during shooting practice should really hone their precision. What do you guys think?
Good question.
That's quite a good one, that.
Yeah, that is a good one. Go first, Kyle. Go on, I'll let you.
To be fair, when you see him sort of warming up, when there's been a few times when I've been stood behind the goal sort of taking pictures as they're warming up, and you think, am I safe stood 10 yards to the right of the goal? Do you know what I mean? And then there's other times when every shot hits the back of the net. So it's like, for me, it is a confidence thing, I think. When you look at people like Dagnall and Grant, they'll keep shooting and stuff. And it's just like Grant on Saturday, he does that 4 or 5 times in a game and it doesn't go anywhere close. But for me, I think they just need a bit of an arm around the shoulder more than anything. It's boost the confidence.
Like you say, I think it's a confidence thing, isn't it? I think that was what was pleasing for me, that Dagnall got that goal having missed the penalty earlier. Yeah. He then went on and scored a good goal. And then scored, I think he scored again, didn't he, against...
on Saturday,
So it's good to see that...
that well as well.
Yeah, again, that was a well-taken finish.
I've never seen him, like, dribble past a keeper like that before.
No.
You know what I mean? He took it past him pretty easily, didn't he? And tapped it in.
Very calm. Past,
so. Composed. It was a good goal.
Yeah, it was very...
I think the interesting thing about Saturday was that it was the first time this season that Grant and Dagnall both scored in the same game.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a stat and a half that, because two strikers, you'd expect to be scoring quite a lot. I know it's the first time this season. But I think that says something as well, doesn't it, about our strike force. It's very average, to be fair. Like, Dagnall, he works hard. He's a good player. He's just confidence. He's just all the time. You can never tell which mood he's going to be in. Like on Saturday, he did all right. He played well, took his goal well. Then other weeks, you're going to see him where he's just running around and he has a chance and he blows.
Like headless chicken.
Yeah, yeah. Headless chicken.
Sometimes I think that's...
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes that's because I think teams know how to play him, keep him away from the ball.
Yeah.
And, like, or put a big centre-half near him and he's not going to get a sniff. But then, like, on Saturday, it was Ian Gunnison, wasn't it? And every time the ball went near him, he was just arms all over people and... Yeah.
I think that will happen against MK Dons, isn't it? When it was Dagnall, he was very much in the pocket of their centre back all game.
Yeah,
didn't get any space.
Yeah, they were both quiet though because there was two good centre halves that game. I think the need to maybe get the ball in the first sort of 10 minutes and have a good run with it and have a shot maybe or something like that. And that gives you your confidence. You see that with any player.
Yeah, just put it up the defence a bit, don't you? That way.
Yeah, just give them a bit something to think about.
Yeah, just make them think. Oh, hang on a minute.
In League One though, they're all muscly centre-backs, aren't they?
Massive centre-halves.
That's why we need a bigger bigger centre-forward, isn't it? That's why we're looking forward to getting Robinson back, to be honest. Even though he's not the best player I've ever seen, but he will give us something more up front, I think.
Yeah, he's somewhat different, isn't it?
Definitely. And that, we do lack a bit of that, especially against these massive centre-halves. They just come here, just do head of the ball. I know, you just knock off the guy off the ball and just, you know what I mean? Them sort of rough and ready.
It looks easy a lot, don't they?
Yeah, so then you get someone else who can compact, get against that. You'd be all right with Robinson, wouldn't you, Smart? So hopefully he'll be able to provide that when he gets fit.
I did think on Saturday as well, though, I don't know what everybody else thinks, but when Ajosi came on, I thought that was the best I've seen him.
Yeah.
Yes, he looked much better. I mean, he's still a little rusty at times, but he looked much better.
Against
he had that one chance where he dribbled past. He put the ball through the legs of the fullback and had a chance to shoot. And I think he could have pulled it back for somebody to tap it in and he shot.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was a few times on that side, and he stood there screaming for the ball. And he's like, you just feel frustrated for him because he wants the ball, but there's obviously not. It's not going to him. It's on the other side of the pitch, and he's like, you could tell he was getting frustrated a bit. And that's the first time I've seen him be like that. If you know what I mean, I don't know if he's sort of realised now. Right, this is it now. I've got to do something. But I did think that, and I think it'll not be long before I think he maybe scores a goal.
He made a couple of really good runs, and he did look to me like a player that was starting to just knock that rust off a bit.
Yeah, just to scare the fullback a little bit. He played on the left hand side of midfield, and he did look like. Right, if you give him that ball and let him run with it. Because, to be fair, last few games, I think Bartram struggled quite a bit.
Yeah, he was really quiet. I was really surprised. Against Tranmere and Huddersfield, he was really quiet both games.
People have found out how to play against him. Mark him tight, not getting the ball, and then he always tries to cut inside or whatever, and it's easy to defend against, I think, is what happened. Also, we're not getting the ball out to him at all. We were very... With O'Connor and Norwood in the middle, the ball goes out wide less, I find. It always goes more down the middle. That's what I've noticed when them two are playing. Because we like Mazika.
I think that's...
The ball close.
Part of that's been, though, because Duffy's been struggling on the other side as well, I think.
Yeah.
So they're not looking to play that ball out wide all the time, are they? Well, it's getting to them out wide, but it's coming to the fullback a lot of the time, isn't it? It goes to Togwell or it goes to Eddie Nolan a lot of the time.
That's why the wingers aren't getting it. But I think that's partly why. I do think he's off form as well. There's still, we still have the option of playing up front, of course, which is really a good possibility. I think in the cup game, we could try that. I know it's a cup game. But it is important. But
maybe he'll be allowed to play, though. That's the thing. I don't know whether they'll let him play, will they, James? Oh, did you mean Bartram?
Yeah. I meant both of them, really. I'd have played Bartram up front, though. Give him a chance with it alongside, like, Dagnall or something.
Yeah, I know what you mean, I'm not sure he's that striker, though, is he? I don't think...
Well, he
think
played there for Gillingham. I was talking to a friend for Gillingham fan. He played there for Gillingham, and he was all right there. He scored a few goals and that, but then they moved him onto the wing, and he was a lot better. So that's what he said. So
He's one of them players that can play in like them two positions. He's a bit like Grant, really. He wants to go forward for sure, but he's like not confident enough all the time to do that.
Exactly.
So give him a bit more time. I think it's good now that the team are looking to like play as more of a team now. It's not so much of individuals wanting to. Do you know what I mean? They're not looking to.
Second half against Tranmere particularly. The playing very well and they looked like getting goals, which was something that we've not seen sometimes.
Yeah, there was a lot of somebody put the ball out wide and then ran like a crazy man to get into the centre, to the middle of the box to take the cross or whatever, and I've not seen that a lot this season.
Positive attacking, looking to get more goals sort of thing, until we got the thought, you know what I mean, just till the game was over. We did go in cruising for a moment and just play the game out, though, which is
definitely
good to see, I suppose. Like I said earlier, we could have gone for it a little bit more.
Could have gone on.
But it's still positives to our Saturday. I think if you play like that away from home, which I don't think we will, but I don't think we can play that away from home. We're more defensive away. Like against Brentford, very annoying performance. We really could have gone and won that game, but we decided to sit back and get the draw. Really,
I think they were happy with the draw, though, weren't they? After struggling a little bit before that, they were happy with the draw. Then same AK, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you can now see that 2 points drop, though, can't you? Because looking back, we should have really gone on and won that game.
Yeah. Well, then you can look at that. You can look at Huddersfield and think that was probably one of the best performances we've played for a while, and that's 2 points dropped, isn't it?
Yeah, lots of 2 points dropped. Too many draws. Far too many draws.
If you can now go on a run and like win, I don't know, before the end of the month, you win the three league games and get a draw in the FA Cup or something like that. That will push us a long way up the league.
Definitely.
And by Christmas, if you get Robertson back and Lewis is maybe back, and I don't know who goes out, if Nelson or somebody like that goes out, and you keep Duffy, I think we've got a good team.
Yeah.
To be fair.
Yeah.
Because they're all coming in. They're all, and it seems like to me now that they've realised Thompson is a winger.
Yeah.
And they've played 4-4-2, which has been good for the last, rather than playing sort of one in the middle and one either side of them at the front.
And that's what
they played 4-4-2 and done pretty well, and I think that shows that's probably what he's wanted to do, but he's just not had the players to do that.
No.
Now he's got Norwood and O'Connor in midfield now, and they can they just do what they do in midfield, don't they? They haven't got to worry about having a third man there.
I do think when they play like that though, that he's a very attacking and they do get caught out sometimes in defence. They do lose a little bit wide open. I don't think O'Connor's a defensive midfielder at all. I think he's more of a centre mid, and he's not a defensive mid.
He's the one that wants to play the glory ball, isn't he, all the time?
Yeah. He's a good player, but he needs to... just simple passing will be better for O'Connor sometimes, instead of playing the Hollywood pass. But it's good to see it, though. When it comes off, it looks good.
Yeah, definitely.
It looks a bit silly.
When it doesn't, you're left frustrated a bit, right?
So we've had another question from Jim as well. I'm not quite sure how you're going to go about answering this one, but it's a brilliant question, so I couldn't not say it. Given that we have defenders called Reed and Wright, should we now be on the lookout for a promising youngster whose surname is Rithmetic? Which I thought was class. I don't know how you go about answering that. It's just comedy. That's brilliant. Thank you, Jim. That's fantastic. More of those.
I'll tell you what I'll do. I've got the day off tomorrow. I'll have a look on Football Manager. If
here we go. Yeah, all right.
See what league plays in.
Yeah, rub it in.
Mexican second division or something like that. Sort it out.
You know there will be one now, don't you?
Yeah, no, no, there will be. There will.
So, poll results. We've been running a poll on our website, theironsupplement.co.uk, for the last few weeks, asking members where will the iron finish the 2011-2012 season. That poll is now closed, with interesting results. Not completely unexpected, mind you. By far the most popular option chosen, with 52.9% of the votes, was mid-table.
Ooh, that's what we said, though, isn't it? So that's probably where they're... That we voted, so that's three people.
So yeah, 52.9% mid table. Second,
yeah,
was
I voted playoffs.
Was 23.5% of people voted for playoffs.
Yeah.
11.8% of people voted for avoiding relegation.
Ooh.
5.9% of people voted for League Two, here we come. So they think we're going to get relegated. And 5.9% of people said automatic promotion.
Mm.
Interestingly, no one voted top, we're going to win the league.
Probably quite far off at the moment, aren't we? We're already, yeah.
Yeah, I think winning the league's probably a bit beyond us.
Just about.
But I think that was quite an interesting spread of results. I think it seems, numbers-wise, most people are thinking mid-table, possibly pushing for playoffs, depending how the season goes. So I think that's pretty much what we were sort of saying last season, wasn't it? Yeah. Last week.
I think that's what we expected at the beginning of the season, though. We didn't really expect that much, did we? We had a decent team, decent, good manager, young manager, and you expect to be challenging the playoffs in a really tough... some big teams in that league, isn't there? Still, like the Wednesday, Sheffield teams, and Huddersfield, Charlton, and they're obviously doing well, and then you've got Preston, who got relegated as well. So yeah, you know what I mean? It's pretty tough league. So you expect to be doing what maybe a little bit higher than what we're doing now, but about 11th at the moment. So I think would be where Preston are would be what I expected, to be honest. We're a bit below that, but not too far off.
I think the performances now they're proving that we're better than where we are in the league, aren't they? Couple of weeks.
I think they have most all the season. All season you've been looking after the game and stuff, and the away fans have been like, oh, how good are Scunthorpe and stuff. I can see them doing really well, and they're like. Perfect. Why tell us that now? We came
down. That's it. It's one of these things where you look at the league table and you think, how are we there? But like you were saying earlier, it's too many draws, isn't it? I think if we turn some of those draws into wins, and all of a sudden we're spraying up the league. I think it's still pretty tight, isn't it?
Yeah. I think we've sorted the defence out now. I think it's just literally just getting a striker who's going to score 20 goals and getting a striker who's got scoring more goals and. As long as we're creating the chances, and then they'll be getting the goals, won't they?
We had those two clean sheets on the bounce. We've then followed that with conceding two goals in the
last
two games.
Yeah, that's true. I think two of them being wonder strikes, though, to be fair.
Yeah, true.
And, yeah, I think it's still been a lot, but with Duffy and Reed...
It's definitely better than it was, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a hell of a lot better, yeah. Yes. And it's a bit of a shame to see Andrew Wright out of the team, but you can see why Togwell's still in there.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. You can't sort of drop Togwell out of that team, but then if you put him in midfield, I don't think you're getting the benefit of him a lot of the time. Like he's a good passer on the right hand side of defence for me. He looks a lot more solid as well now in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, no, he's doing well.
His passing ability from that position is like amazing for me.
Yeah, it is very good. I think the key thing is if you bring Wright in, you either have to drop Togwell or you drop O'Connor or Norwood.
It doesn't make sense, does it? You would drop.
You don't want to drop any of those three. And I mean, as harsh as it is on Andy Wright right now, I think
it is harsh,
he's doing. I think Togwell's doing, like you say, a good job at right back.
We all know we'll get injuries, so Andy Wright will be back in the team.
Yeah, definitely.
It's not like
he was out.
He's a good player. So, and it's like when Cliff Byrne gets back as well, we'll have more options, won't we? So, yeah, we've got a decent squad now. Look at the team on paper and the squad. Maybe we're just missing a bit up front, really.
Can I just say something? I was talking about this at work with Chris, and looking at the goals scored at the minute, when you look at now compared to last season, Grant has got now the same amount of goals as top scorer was O'Connor last season has got.
Yep.
And when you compare to the last time we were in this league, and when everybody fawns over Hooper and Hayes, I think there's only one, at this point in the season, there's only one goal different between what them two had scored and what Bobby and Dagnall have scored. There's one different...
Really? That's interesting. I wouldn't have guessed that.
I think it was something like Hooper and Hayes had scored 17, and I think them two have scored 16 at the same point in the season. When you look at that, it's a good stat for me.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought that was very interesting.
When we were that season, didn't we start quite slow though? Again, when we got relegated that year, we had quite a slow start, and then we built up and managed to. We did really good over a spell like this sort of time of the year, and then we fell off again like near the end and managed to get playoffs. I think that's. But I know what you mean. That's a really interesting start. But what does that say about the team then? If the strikers are scoring goals, who isn't? The midfield, or
I know what you're saying. Yeah, midfield. You had Wolford and people like Sparrow and that then, didn't you? That were
Grant McCann as well.
Scoring from midfield, but like now, if it's not Grant Dagnall or Bartram scoring, there's not really anybody. Do you know what I mean? There's Norwood scored one, O'Connor scored one, hasn't he? And there's nobody else really chipping in regularly.
Grant McCann, you mean?
We miss him a lot in midfield.
We do.
Yeah, that's it. I think if you look at the top scorers at the moment, you've got Grant's on 8 goals, Dagnall's on 6 goals, Bartram on 4, and then the next is Mozzie on 2.
That's it. So the midfield,
There's Duffy, isn't there, after that? That's it, I think, isn't it?
Yeah, you're probably right.
Thompson scored one, didn't he?
Yeah.
Good team, you do need goals from everywhere, don't you, really? Like, I know Duffy scored the weekend, Shane Duffy. We haven't scored enough goals from him. Yeah. Well, Nolan's
gone, so that's it. You've got, I've just looked at the full list actually. You've got Grant on 8, Dagnall on 6, Bartram on 4, Mozzie on 2, and then there's a bunch of people that have scored one goal each, and that's it.
Yeah, and when you think, like I was just saying, when you think of that last season when we went up from League One, say there was McCann, Thompson.
There was a bunch of players that were in amongst it as well, wasn't it? It wasn't just Hayes and Hooper, yeah.
It weren't just 7-2 scoring, so, but I just thought that was an interesting stat.
Very interesting. The thing is, I would never have guessed that either. For everyone, you know, there's been a lot of sort of comment and criticism about the fact that we've not been scoring many goals and yeah, so it's an interesting stat. So the new poll on the website is who that follows nicely from that. Who will be the top scorer for the Iron this season? So come the end of the season, who will have got the golden boot, if you like? So members, get yourselves to the ironsupplement.co.uk. Get your vote in. If you're not already registered, get yourself registered. And we will discuss the outcome of that on episode 3. It'll be interesting to see what people say.
And hopefully we'll have a fourth person.
Hopefully she'll have got herself sorted and got a microphone. We can get Nicola involved. That'd be good.
Hopefully.
I think that's us done. The next episode, episode 3, will be in 2 weeks' time, Thursday the 17th of November. If you want to listen, you can subscribe on castironpodcast.podomatic.com. Or there's a bunch of links on the ironsupplement.co.uk. We'll link you to the latest episode, and you can subscribe through iTunes.
And if you don't see it via there, I'm sure we'll all bore you to death with it on Twitter.
Yeah, if you manage to somehow miss us lot pimping the hell out of it over the next 2 weeks on Twitter, then you're clearly not following us, and why not?
And if you want us to stop, you've got to invite your friends to join.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want us to stop, you've got to write an article on the Iron for the site. That's what we need.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. If anyone fancies writing an article for the Iron Supplement, get yourselves registered. At the bottom of the menu bar on the left-hand side, you will see a menu called User Menu. When you're logged in, there is a link there saying Submit Article. Get one written, submit it in, we'll take a look. If we like what you've done, we'll get it up on the site.
We probably will like what we've done, to be honest. Yeah, we like a lot of good stuff. Anything interesting?
Anybody that's got a good opinion.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or a bad opinion. any opinion.
Any opinion, yeah. It'll be interesting to see what people come up with. So, yeah, get them written, get them submitted. We'll get them up on the site. There's also the forums there, of course. Get yourselves signed up. Get on the forums and talk with fellow fans. There's some interesting discussions already on there. And I think as the membership grows, that's only going to get better and more interesting, isn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for listening, and I will see you both, and hopefully Nicola, in 2 weeks' time.
Okay.
Thanks very much, guys.
Goodbye, guys.
Cheers.
Cheers. Up the iron.
Up the iron.
From the iron.